So this morning, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 4. We're going to start there at verse 31 and then go through 5:11. But to get the kind of the context of this story surrounding all this, I want to first go back there to chapter 3. And read the first 9 verses there. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the 9th hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaped up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. So here this man has been laying at this temple gate for 40 years. Well, he probably wasn't at the temple gate for 40 years, but he is lame for 40 years. And when he's seen Peter and John, he was asked them of money. But Peter was like, "I have no money, but what I have, I give you." And he healed him. And then on the verse 12 there, verse 12 says, "And when Peter saw it," so after this man was healed, he starts leaping, praising God, and that draws a big crowd of people around there. And then verse 12, "And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, 'Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us? As though by our own power, our holiness, we have made this man to walk.'" So here he's saying, it was nothing that me or John did. It was all what Christ has done. And then go on to verse 19 there. What he goes on to, like, preach them a sermon, like, of who Jesus Christ was and what they done for or to him. He was saying that you killed this man Jesus, who healed this lame man. And verse 17 there says, "It was because of your ignorance that you done this." But then in 19 says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." So he's saying that even though you did it in your ignorance, you need to repent of that and believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. And then on to chapter 4 there. It says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it is now eventide." So here the chief priests and rulers seen what they were doing, heard what they were doing, and they did not like it. So they laid hands on Peter and John, tied them up, put them in prison. Verse 4, "Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed." So many of the people in the temple there had seen what they'd done, had seen the miracle of this lame man, had heard them preaching. And it says, "Many of them believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And so the story goes on. The next day they brought Peter and John out, and said that you can't do that. They would have liked to do, they would have liked to persecute him, but they knew they couldn't because it would have caused a big riot. So basically, they just said that you cannot preach in this in Jesus' name anymore. And so they released him, and Peter and John went back to the apostles and the people that they were with and told them what all they had relayed to them, what the high priest had told them, that they couldn't preach. And they had a great revival. They had a great prayer meeting. And then verse 31, this is coming out of this prayer meeting that they had. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. And as the deacon standing here, no, this is not what the sermon's about. Go sell all your possessions. I mean, you could if you want. I'm sure the church would take it. But it's kind of like Bruce has said several times in Sunday school, that there was a married couple, and where the husband would kept telling his wife that, I mean, he would die for her. Like, he would do everything for her, just lay his life down for her and just die for her. And she was like, well, in all honesty, I'd just simply be glad if you just did the dishes for me. So I'm not saying to sell all your possessions. I'm just saying it'd be nice if we just have more Bible school teachers. It's not that. Just a plug in there for Bible school. We are definitely looking for teachers. So here they a bunch of these people sold their possessions. They gave it to the church. And 35 there says, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And then 36 is what I'm really after here. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, brought the money, laid it at the apostles' feet. So here, Barnabas, which his name wasn't Barnabas then, but the apostles gave him that name later. I don't know what he was thinking, what he was feeling at this time, but it's obvious, as we can see later in scriptures, this like lined right up with his character. In chapter 9, verse 27 says, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, which is talking about Saul here, or Paul, right after his conversion, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So here he was advocating for Paul to the apostles, and just like, this guy is for real, like, believe him, trust him. And chapter 11, 24 says, and this is talking about Barnabas, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. And then chapter 15, he advocates for John Mark as well, when Paul and John Mark had that dispute, and Barnabas as well. And so this is very much in Barnabas' character, to like care for others, to be encouragement to others. And I'm sure he did this with nothing that he wanted in return. Like, he strictly sold his land, gave all the money to the church, simply out of pure love for his fellow brethren. He didn't want anything in return. Then in the chapter 5 there, I'm going to read 1 through 11, then come back. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me, whether you sold the land for so much? And she said, Yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry them out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. So back there to verse 1. The very first word, but. So here, previously, in the next or the couple of verses above, we had an example of what happened. Then in verse 1 there, but. So now we have a contrast. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife. And I don't know, like I heard, there's one guy said, like, in this story particularly, like, there's not a lot of details around here, like, what all took place, or what, we don't have a lot of details, but he said he likes that when the Bible does that, because then he can use his imaginations. And so that's what I'm going to do a little bit here. So we don't know a lot about Ananias and Sapphira. Let's just say they might have looked perfect, like a perfect church member. They might have dressed the part, looked the part, acted the part. They might have been at church every time there was church. Or were they on the other side? Maybe they showed up just every now and then, weren't involved with the church, were just a part of the church just to reap the benefits of the church, just for the brotherhood when they wanted the brotherhood or needed the brotherhood, but not really be a part of the brotherhood. I don't know. But I'm guessing a good chance they were there when that lame man was healed. They seen the miracles. They seen the wonderful things that the disciples were doing. They heard the preaching that the disciples were doing. They might have seen all the good things that were going on in the church, how the church was expanding rapidly at that time. More than likely, they seen what Barnabas did, and they seen how he was appreciated, and the apostles even changed his name, gave him a new name. I'm guessing he's seen all that. But the interesting thing, or that certain man, and in my studies I found there was a little bit of conflict. Some people think that he was, that they were truly saved, and some people think that he wasn't. But a certain man, in chapter 3, verse 2, it says, "And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them," which I read. So this here man was not a believer until Peter came along and did the miracle, and he, like, it changed his life. He began worshiping God. And then also in chapter 8, verse 9, what I'm getting at is I think every time Luke used certain man in front of a man's name, it seems like he was not a believer or was definitely not filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm open to, hearing from you guys later if you see something or find something. But in chapter 8, verse 9 says, But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving unto himself was some great one." So here, Simeon was not a believer. The disciples came, and he was baptized later on after that. And then 10:1 says, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devoted man and one that feared God." Here he feared God, but as we can see later, he didn't know who God was until, who was it that came? Yeah, Peter came and told him, like, who God really was, and he turned his life over to him. So, if he was a true believer or not, either argument you want to take, he had the wrong, or I'm talking about Ananias and Sapphira, they had the wrong motives in their heart. So verse 2, "And they kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet." So they went out and sold their land. And at some point, him and his wife decide, you know, we're going to sell this land. We're going to make it look like we're going to give all the money to the church, but we're going to keep back part of it. And I don't know. I'm guessing when Ananias came, I'm not sure where they did this, but I'm guessing when Ananias brought this bag of money, he was probably feeling pretty good about himself. He was probably looking around, like, look at me. I don't know what they rode or drove back then, if it was a 2-year-old double hump camel or a 20-year-old donkey. Either side, like, he wanted people to see what he was doing for the Lord. And then on to verse 3 says, "But," and here that word is again, "but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto man, but unto God." And I like how the New Living Translation says, and it says, "Then Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit, and you kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not to sell, as you wished. And after selling it, The money was also yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God. And I can about only imagine what Ananias was feeling about this time. Here he thought, I'm sure, that as he laid this money down, Peter would just, oh man, you're such a good guy, and go on and praising him. And Peter is doing the exact opposite. Peter was rebuking him, calling him out. And I'm guessing Ananias was coming up with all kinds of excuses in his head. It doesn't say, but he probably was. So, I don't know what Ananias was feeling or thinking. But the thing was, Peter didn't care nothing about the sale of the land. He didn't care if he sold it. He didn't care if he kept it. He didn't even care if he gave him any money or not. But Peter cared for what the true thing what Ananias was doing. He was lying to the Spirit. Like he said, why have you lied to the Holy Ghost? And he said, you didn't lie to us. You didn't lie to me. You didn't lie to the church, but you lied to God. Another thing in verse 4 there says, why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? You know, Satan cannot sin for us. He can put the temptation in our hearts, and he will, but Satan does not do our sinning. It is us, we ourselves, that yield to that temptation and do that sinning. And verse 6 says, and the young men arose, or no, 5, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost. So it doesn't even appear like he even had time to respond to this. And I'm not even sure if Peter knew that he was going to die. It doesn't say. And so Peter might have just been as shocked as everybody else was that he fell down and died. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. So here, his wife was out and about. I don't know where she was. And I don't even know what she was thinking. She might have been thinking, man, this is taking him a long time. What's he doing? She might have been thinking, well, man, they're just really praising him, and he's getting all this honor that I'm going to go join him. I want some of this honor too. Don't know. But 3 hours later, she comes in, and Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And here she had a choice to do right or to do wrong. She could have told Peter right then that, no, we sold it for this much, but we decided to give this much. But she didn't. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. And I don't know what she was thinking at this time. If she had time to react to it, or if she just simply went into verse 10 there, then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, found her dead, carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And it would have been interesting yeah, did the people really understand around them what was going on? It'd been interesting to know if Peter explained it, or if they caught that, yeah, if they were lying against the Holy Spirit, I don't know. But great fear fell on all the church. And I think, as you can read as the chapter goes on, I mean, there was many more people that were added to the church after this as well. So here we have two people, Barnabas and Ananias and Sapphira. They both did a good thing outwardly. But the only thing that mattered between these two incidents is what was on the inside. And you know, we might do good things, and I hope we do good things. It's good to do good things, but what is going on our inside? You know, we may be true believers and truly a part of the church. Or let me back up there. I'm talking about Ananias and Sapphira here. Maybe they were true believers and truly a part of the church. And maybe they did promise God that they would give all the money to the church. And then when they got that money, maybe the love of money took over. And they hardened their hearts and they kept back part of it. Or maybe they weren't true believers. Maybe they were hypocrites sitting in that church. They looked right, they acted right, they did what they were told, but they just wanted the benefits of the church. They didn't really care. But how does this relate to us today? I mean, you can say the obvious sin here is lying to the Holy Spirit, in which it is. But I think it's so much more than that. They were trying to look like something that they weren't. Am I doing that? Are you doing that? Are we being true to the Spirit? Let's not be a fake. You know, I've seen, there's so many times where people say, you know, they don't want to be a part of a church or whatever because there's so many hypocrites in church. And I've seen a reel on that. It's like, show me one person that ain't a hypocrite as far as any other denomination. Everybody's a hypocrite. And this pastor was saying, I'm a hypocrite. That's why I need Jesus. If I wasn't a hypocrite, I wouldn't need Jesus. I'd be perfect. And so all of us are hypocrites, in a sense. But I'm going beyond that. Like, are we trying to look like something that we know that we're not in our hearts? And I don't know if that's what Ananias and Sapphira were or not. But they definitely lied to the Holy Spirit. You know, you hear the phrase sometimes, they're just doing that, or they're doing that for the wrong reason, so they shouldn't even be doing that. Possibly. Or maybe you struggle with it, or I struggle with it sometimes, like, I shouldn't do a good thing, whatever it is, because my attitude is not right on the inside. So, here a little, it was funny, or not funny, but this morning as we were down in the room, Jerry had prayer before we came up, and he said something to the effect of, show us, I forget how you worded it, but show us, as we study the word and prepare to preach, like, show us first in ourselves so we can present it to you. And yeah, that happened to me. And thank you, Terrell, for making me stand up here and preach. Because yesterday I was struggling with my attitude on just studying and coming up with something. And the more I studied it, the more I seen myself and Ananias, like, my attitude just stank. And I had to repent of it. And then it started getting better after that. And so, yeah, there is times that we need to repent of our attitudes. But what I'm saying, or what I want to convey to you, just because you see somebody doing something for the wrong reason, just because you feel like you can't do something good for the wrong, because you have the wrong reason inside of your heart, the good thing is not the problem. It's our heart. It's what's on the inside of us that's a problem. Change the inside and keep doing good on the outside. It's Peter still took the money, and whoever received this money, it still blessed them. It didn't bless the giver, but it blessed the receiver. So keep doing good, just change what's on the inside, if that's the problem. And one quote here in closing that I found, it says, "Their sin is imitated in many ways today. We can create or allow the impressions that we are people of Bible reading and prayer when we are not. We can create or allow the impressions that we have it all together when we do not. We can exaggerate our spiritual accomplishments, our effectiveness, to appear something we are not. It is too easy to be happy with the image of spirituality without the reality of spiritual life." So my prayer is for each one of you, myself included, that we would, thoughts all left me, that we would be real and true, that we would change what's on the inside so what's going on the outside can truly worship or glorify God the way he wants it to, and that we might not, that we might be true to the Holy Spirit, that we might be truly filled with that Holy Spirit.